Hey, good morning, Bridge family. Pastor Ryan here from my porch, my quarantine porch. I'm super grateful for all your love, all your support, your texts, your emails. I'm grateful for all of it. Thank you for those of you who've been running to the grocery store for us to bring the things that we needed. And thank you for the homemade food as well. Had some homemade pasta, which was just amazing, a labor of love. Anyway, super grateful, grateful for all of you, for your love, for the season that we're in. And I thought we'd continue the series this morning, getting back to it, hashtag unfaced, and talking about these competencies that every disciple, and when I say disciple, I mean a follower of Jesus. And when I say follower of Jesus, remember that the Christian life, Christianity, is not about just trying to learn the right information and doing what you're told. It is about the process of letting God live in you and through that transform your desires to be like His desires, His wants, your wants. More and more looking like Him, living like Him, and wanting what He wants. And boy, if I've had any extended time to do something over these last few days of quarantine, it's been spending time with Him and learning to want what He wants and having time to let Him talk with me and chew on everything from the things I'm doing, how I'm spending my time, and watching the process of Him transforming my own desires to want what He wants more and more. And that's been, for me, super rich. I've been enjoying that a ton. And you're going to hear lots of things while we're doing this outside. You're going to hear my neighbors across the street. You're going to hear people walking their dog. You're going to hear the cars going by. But that's it. But if you want to open your Bibles, I'd love for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I'm going to read two verses in a minute that are some of the most profound and important verses for us for our lifetime, for a disciple to know and to walk in. But before we do that, I just want to talk about the value of relationships. So this particular competency that we're talking about, number six on this list that we put up there of our eight, is talking about cultivating healthy relationships, being able to do that, knowing how to do that. If there's anything that COVID has taught us is the importance of relationship, time, FaceTime, people, the way in which we can enjoy other people's presence, the life that they bring us, especially when you've been in quarantine. I tell you, when you're alone in the room, and you know, you have to press in. You got to press in for this. You miss the time with the family, miss the board games, miss the walks with the fam, the hikes, miss connecting with all of you, miss going to work and being with everybody. You miss those things. You miss people. I missed being with folks on my birthday, a certain tradition that we always do is we wake up early on 4th of July morning and we play a board game. Usually it's Risk, and then if there's time, other things. I missed all of that. I miss the people. That value for people, the importance of relationship, is probably one of those areas that has been highlighted the most in the midst of this crazy, crazy COVID season for all of us. Both the need for it, and on the other side, some of us, because of the close quarters and because of the family time, we've actually had to deal with some areas of relationship. Maybe some of the unhealth that we could easily ignore before. We could go to work and pretend it wasn't there. Those kinds of things surface, and we got to look at them. We got to deal with them. But let me tell you, nobody should be able to do relationship better than people who are walking with their God. Jesus walked relationships so beautifully, so healthy. He was honest. The best relationships, the most encouraging, the healthiest relationships are the ones that are honest, the ones that bring out the best in each other, the ones that fight for the highest good of the other person. They're real. They're the ones that are secure. You're not worried about what they think of me. If I don't do something right, will I be rejected? Am I in? Am I out? Is it like a social club where if I don't look like everybody else? Those aren't healthy relationships. The healthy relationships are the ones where you feel the security. Why? Hear me on this. Because relationship is a bridge. A bridge that allows love to flow between one person and another. If you have a relationship with God, there's a bridge that's built. The incredible, powerful love of God flowing deep into your soul, which is our greatest desire, mankind's greatest need, our greatest desire. That's why our relationship with God is so important. But our relationship with each other is also vitally important. Remember, all the commandments, all of them, hang on two, Jesus said. These are the primary, the greatest commandments that hold all the teachings, the law and the prophets, everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On those two, everything else hinges. Everything flows from those two. How do we do this well? Our love for God, our relationship with Him, everything about what I do for God has to flow out of my relationship with God, my love for Him. If I'm not doing it out of love for Him, I'm doing it out of duty. And duty is just religion, and religion is not what we've been invited into. We've been invited into relationship, and relationship flows out of want to, because I love you, because I care about you, because you care about me. And when we move like that with God, that's called obedience, and that is a healthy relationship. It comes out of security. We're not worried that God's gonna then drop us because we messed up today or whatever else, and He's out of here. Same in our relationships with each other. Unhealthy relationships with other people are super insecure. They don't build you up, they tear you down. They're not built on a platform of I'm in this for your good. They're built on a platform of I'm in this for my good. And what do you bring to me that makes me better? And if you don't bring something good or whatever, then I'm out of here. Or you name it. We also learn bad habits. We pick them up in our childhood. The way we handle conflict, or the way we handle fear, the way we handle rejection, the way we handle things, the way we fight. These bad habits can affect our relationships. And relationships that are hurting can be some of the greatest pains we'll ever experience. But you and I are part of a new day. God Himself has said, I want a relationship with you. And out of that relationship with me, I want to walk with you and help you love others the way that I have loved you. I want to be with you and teach you a different way forward. And that's where we pick this up in John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35, two verses, John 13, 34 and 35. This is the last week of Jesus' life, preparing for the Last Supper, preparing for that upper room conversation. He tells them these words. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus said these words knowing that Judas is going to stab him in the back. In fact, he just got done washing Judas's feet. Can you believe that? As He washed all their feet and taught them the way of the kingdom. This is what leadership in my kingdom looks like. It is the right and the opportunity to serve other people the way I'm doing this for you. So if you want to lead in my kingdom, let me show you my way. It is humble. It is gentle. It is the way of service, not getting from, but giving to people. And He even washed Judas's feet as He taught him this. But he knew Judas was going to stab him in the back and betray him. And yet he still talked about the greatest love. And he washed his feet and he demonstrated that kind of love. He said, "A new commandment I give you." Now, I want to talk about two things out of this passage, out of these two verses, two simple things. The first is talking about what he wants to say is going to be a new standard. It's going to be different than everything they've ever heard before. That's why he called it a new commandment. So it's a different standard, and it's a clear sign. It's a clear sign. It's a different standard, and it's a clear sign. Love is the core of what makes a relationship healthy. The quality of that love. What kind of love is going on here? The word here in the Greek is agape. It's a different kind of love. They had many words for love. Our English language only has one. It's love. I love. I love you. I love this. I love burgers. I love fries. Love. Love is sex. Love is you're nice to me. Love is the way I feel about a car. These words were very specific because what Jesus was talking about was the kind of love that is ascribed to a morally right, good and perfect love. A love that only has good intended for others. A new commandment I give you, a new standard. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." In the same way, in the same manner that you have experienced a relationship with me, in the way that I've loved you, this is what I'm calling you into. Now, guys, let me just tell you, if that sounds difficult, a perfect kind of love, and all, it's because it is. Apart from God, it's impossible. But that is what the gospel is about. Remember, the gospel means good news. And the good news that Jesus preached is that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. It is right now. You can learn the way of my kingdom because I'm here to teach you. And even after I left, it's better that I go. Why? Because my spirit will come and live in you and will continue to teach you my way. Christianity is not about believing that those words are good words, they're right words, they're true words. It is about taking those words and saying, "I believe, Jesus, that I can love the way that you have called me to love, the way that you have loved me. And I'm going to choose to love that way." And so what happens is then we get confronted with our own habits, our own ways of loving, our own ways of doing relationship in light of the way that Jesus has put out for us, the way of his kingdom. And then we choose. We choose our old habits, our broken ways of handling friction, fighting, rejection, problems with people, insecurities. We can choose those old ways, unforgiveness, bitterness. We can harbor those things. We can choose that. Or we can choose the way of the kingdom. That is why it's good news. We have the ability to choose to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and choose his way. What is his way? It was a totally new standard, a different kind of love, totally different than what this world gives out. That's why this world needs it so bad. It's so different. He describes a way when he talked on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, let me read you what he says, because he's teaching them all about the way of the kingdom and why it's so different than the culture in which they live. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said," meaning this is the way that you've learned it in your culture. This is the way you grew up believing. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This new standard, this new kind of love, this new command I give you, love as I've loved you. He describes it here in a couple ways. He talks about this first, that there is a humanly acceptable kind of love. He said, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You shall love the people who are nice to you and hate the people who are mean to you. You shall love the people who agree with you and hate the people who disagree with you. You shall love the people who whatever and hate the people who have different political opinions than you. You shall love the people who, and you shall hate the people who have different leanings than you. You name it. Live a different lifestyle than you. He said, you have learned a way in your culture, in the earthly culture, where your love can be selective, where you can choose who you will show love to, and you can give yourself the right to hate other people. And he said, that's not my way. That's not the way of the kingdom. That's why it's a new command. And he describes that. He says, don't people who don't know God do exactly the same? Isn't that how everybody does life and love? They're nice to people who are nice to them, and they're mean to people who are mean to them. He said, instead, I'm teaching you my way. Now listen to how different God's way is. He says, love your enemies. Don't just love your neighbors, actually love your enemies. Right now, you have the choice. You are dealing with it right here in your own heart. You're dealing with it on your social media pages. You're dealing with it when you watch the news. You see the dividing lines. You see the division in our country. And listen, that division, hate and fear and all that it's creating. Listen, the church has no business jumping in either of those two pools. Our business is standing right in the middle between them and bringing people back together, stepping into the pool of hate and talking about the love of God and loving people, demonstrating that you can love somebody who is so different than you, who thinks differently than you, has different values than you. You can love somebody who thinks you're crazy. You can love somebody like that. And on the other end, you can step into the arena of fear and talk about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Talk about the plan of God, that God is a good God, that He's never going to leave us. He's never forsaken us, that even in the middle of chaos, God is drawing people to Himself. You can step in the middle of the fear and quell the fear and live as if your life is under the authority of the Almighty God, which it is, your Heavenly Father, and move out differently, not projecting anxiety everywhere you go, not projecting phobias everywhere you go, but living honorably, responsibly, but as if your life is being sovereignly guided by God Himself. You speak to fear with courage. You put courage back in people. You don't join the hullabaloo online. You don't join the hullabaloo that somebody else is in the middle of. Instead, you listen to them, you hear them, you validate them, and then you walk them to the one who they can trust. There's a heavenly acceptable kind of love. That's why it's a new standard. And it says, love your enemies. And if somebody wrongs you, somebody persecutes the church, persecutes you. Listen, our friends, our family in India right now, they are being persecuted for their faith. They're being driven out of towns right now as we speak. In Nigeria, they are on the brink of a genocide against Christians in Nigeria, while others are just watching on. our brothers and sisters around the world are dealing with this at a massive level. You and I are barely scratching the surface of what real persecution is. And a lot of us aren't handling ourselves very well. And instead of praying for those that persecute us, we're cursing the persecutors. Be careful. It's a choice that you're making. You and I have the opportunity to live like sons and daughters of God that do love differently. We love those that don't deserve it by their actions. We love people because they're worthy of love, because God has set his love on them, because God has declared them valuable. That's why we love them. And this is what he's inviting us into. He loved Peter when Peter was a knucklehead. He loved the disciples when they wanted to rain down fire on the village in Samaria. He loved them through all their stuff and provided for them a security. He wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't rejecting them, but he was teaching them, and they drew closer to him and they learned to walk with him, and then they learned his way. And that same John, the one who wanted to call down fire from heaven and burn up the town, is the same John who's called the disciple, the beloved, the one who calls himself beloved, who learned the love of God for him and how to give that to others. And he loved so well. He wrote these words. He wrote the epistles of John in there. And he just talks about the love of God and how, if you and I know him and love him, then we will choose to walk in love toward one another. That agape love, that better kind of love. And lastly, he says that it's a clear sign. It's a different standard. And he says it's a clear sign. By this, verse 35, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, not by your right doctrinal thinking, not by that, not by your correctness and your ability to correct other people and culture, not by how loud you scream, but by how well you love. You see, the way that you and I do relationship with each other, and this relationship starts in our homes. It's how we love our spouses. It's how we love our kids. It is a tragedy when we bring our broken world ways of doing relationship into our Christian marriages and realize we are not loving the way of the kingdom. We're loving the way of the world, and we're just putting a Christian veneer over the top of it. And he said, listen, I have given you something way better than that. I've given you the ability to learn my way, but it's going to require choices on your part. You're going to have to change and address some of the ways that you treat one another. So when you blow up in anger, instead of believing and justifying that action, asking for forgiveness. When somebody wrongs you or offends you in your relationship, being willing to forgive them and actually lean in and let reconciliation take its course, instead of writing them off, instead of kind of unfriending them, instead of saying, you're not a part of my life anymore, saying, hey, listen, I want to fight for this. I want to be able to love you. I'm really hurt. I got to lean in. And how often do we forgive? 70 times seven, Jesus told Peter. Not just seven times, 70 times seven. Forgiveness for you and I, if we are choosing the Jesus way. And that is what it means to be a Christian. No other definition works. If we're choosing the Jesus way, then as he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. By perfect, it's that word in the Greek, teleos, which means complete, perfection. He's saying, listen, in regards to the way that you love, don't allow yourself a lesser standard of love. Not if you want to demonstrate who I am. Not if you want to be my son, my daughter. Instead, demonstrate who I am and show that other kind of love. The kind that reaches across to reconcile. The kind that rebuilds that bridge between two people. The kind that steps across and fights for a healthy relationship. One of the things we have been walking through with our emotionally healthy relationships and our emotionally healthy spirituality courses, one of the themes we learn in both courses is that we bring so much from our family of origin, so many habits, and we tend to live out of those learned behavior patterns and how we treat one another more than we do from God's word and the kingdom way, the way that he's opened for us. We do this instead of this. And I live more like an Odo than I do like a follower of Jesus. I live more like a whatever, a Costantini, than I do like a follower of Jesus. And that's what he's saying. Listen, the good news of the gospel of the kingdom is that it's here. You can start living in it now. I want to close with this picture. One of the things I've been watching is a show called Win the Wilderness. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, but Win the Wilderness. I just finished it. I won't tell you who wins, but it's six couples from the UK are flown to Alaska for the chance to compete to win this beautiful estate, this huge piece of property in the Alaskan wilderness. Now, the property and the three-story home and all that was built by a couple, the Osi family, just a couple, husband and wife, who were literally hundreds of miles back in the middle of nowhere. Went all the way back there, built this house out of logs, cut every log, stripped every log themselves, put them all in places all by themselves, built a giant property out. And now in their latter years, they recognize it's time for them to transition. And so they are giving this mini kingdom, literally, to somebody. And so now what they're doing is they're bringing in these couples and they are testing them and they are watching them, interviewing them to see if or who they're going to entrust their legacy to, their kingdom to. And so their values for hard work, their values for being a team, a husband and wife team, their values for working together, their values for appreciating the land. They have all these values. Now, they've been there for 40 years, I think. They have all these values that they're bringing to the table that they're looking for in the lives of these couples. And the couple that demonstrates those values and that appreciation for this kingdom is the couple that they're choosing to inherit the kingdom. They're giving them all of it. Lock, stock, and barrel. All of it. And these couples are competing for it. And a couple wins. And you get to watch the journey. But listen, that's the picture of the life in which we're living. Our King, Jesus, said the kingdom of God is at hand right now. And the Christian life is learning to walk in that kingdom, not learning the right things about the kingdom. It's actually putting the kingdom into practice. This is how it's going to be then. So I'm treating people that way now. I'm choosing this way now. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness and all these things that the rest of the world runs after, all the house and the stuff and the life and the food and the clothing, everything people are running around trying to get, what they're putting as priorities in their life. Listen, seek first my kingdom. Understand the reality of my kingdom is now. And it's coming. You're going to inherit all of it. But I'm looking for those who want it. The question that the OCs kept asking these couples as they sat around their dinner table is, why do you want this? And that's the question that we as a disciples ask ourselves or need to ask ourselves. Do I want a life with Jesus? Do I want kingdom righteousness, What does that mean? Do I want to agree with God about how to love people? How to do relationship in a healthy way? Do I want to agree with God about the right and the healthiest way to be a husband and be a wife, be a son and be a daughter, to parent, to grow up, to pursue? And the degree to which you and I say, yeah, I want that, is the degree to which the kingdom of God is living through our lives. We're letting him live through our lives. If we choose, no, we don't really want that. All I want is fire insurance. Listen, that's not the gospel. It's not the gospel, nor is it the offer. For so long, the message of the gospel has just been this offer of, what's the cheapest way to get to heaven? What do I need to believe to make sure I have fire insurance? And that is not the gospel. It's not what Jesus preached. He preached the reality of his kingdom and the offer to enter into it, to take his hand and learn his way, to take his yoke, the easy yoke, and learn that way, to choose differently than the way the world lives, what it accepts, differently than the way I live, what I accept. And when it comes to relationships, this is what it means to cultivate healthy relationships. You and I learning to love and treat one another with the honor and the dignity and the respect, and especially the hardest ones for us. And I know there are some hard ones for you right now, hard ones for me, but I get to choose to take the hand of my Holy Spirit and say, I want to walk with you. I want to see that person through your eyes. I want to honor them well. I want to forgive that person. I want to walk not sideways with people, but I want to walk in relationship with that person too. And listen, that's our invitation. That's my invitation to you. And I think there's some areas for us to address in our own lives today. There's some questions that will be up in a minute that we can address, but let me close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder from your word, a new commandment you give us, that we would love the way you loved us. You said, greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And this is what you've called us to love you with all our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Everything about our relationships falls into that category. You've not given us the right to write people off. You've not given us the right to treat people like crud. You've not given us the right to hate, devalue, demean. You've not given us the right to stigmatize people and separate them out of our lives. Instead, you have given us the right to love our enemies and to pray for those that persecute us and to fight to see a reconciliation happen. That is what you've given us. And to that degree, I say yes. I want that in my own life. Help me love like that. And to the rest who say the same, Holy Spirit, empower us to love like that, because this is the measure of our maturity in you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.